Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
From Shaker Heights to Oxford, Ohio, to Cincinnati, Ohio, to Reno, Nevada, to Los Angeles, California, you name it, he's been your guy. And he joins us right now in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's from the MLB Network. He's from the NFL Network. He's a mega friend of the show. He's Mr. Chris Rose. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
For 3 years.
We missed everything but for 3 years. Continue.
All right, though, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good resume off the top of your head.
Thank you very much. I was winging it.
That's pretty good. Really good. Really? Holy smokes.
Chris, I vividly remember our former news director. You had him in Cincinnati. I had him in Cleveland, Mr. Greg Caputo. And I remember you standing next to my desk in a green suit after you had interviewed with Greg for a position on our staff in Cleveland. And it was real clear you were on your way to big things, and you did not work with us, and I wish you had. It would have been fun. But I'm glad for you you didn't, because things certainly worked out nicely.
So that's good. I bet that's fine. Holy smokes, the green suit and everything. I think that was the one suit I had back in the day.
Yeah.
That was
a nice suit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So how's everybody
did
feeling?
Did you guys go to lunch, or did you do anything fun on the interview?
We had a really nice conversation, though.
We did. It was, I think that was the first time we met, and God, that's 20.
Don't do it.
That's before I moved to Reno, more than 25 years ago.
Unreal. It really is unreal, isn't it? Yeah,
sorry.
It really is. We're doing well. How about you in Los Angeles, and everything's still shut down in California?
Listen, we're going to be one of the last states to get back to whatever the new norm is. So, people get it. People have been well behaved. I think that's why the numbers haven't grown to a New York stage, thankfully, out here. So that's fine. On a personal level, just ready for the NFL draft. Found out late last week I was actually going to be doing some stuff for NFL Network, which is exciting. It's really cool. For my MLB, I have a studio here, obviously, to do intentional talk, and the NFL people are able to tap into that camera. And so I'll be hosting the pre- and post-game shows on NFL Network. So it's kind of cool.
Very nice.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, you were social distancing before anybody else, if you realize that. You invented this thing.
That's true. And Millar and I were ahead of the curve. We have at our respective homes, for 10 years now. That's what we've been doing. So it's pretty crazy. We've been doing this for a decade.
Chris, what's the latest that you're hearing any buzz at all about the Browns and the 10th pick, which we've been talking about to nauseous levels? Anything new that you've been hearing?
Well, I mean, new is based on how the draft unfolds, okay, I would think. I would be shocked if they trade up. I would not be shocked if they traded back. And actually, I think that's a pretty smart play. I know it's not what Browns fans want to hear, particularly under the leadership of a guy who, while he was working under Sashi Brown, we kept trading back and back and back. I really think the Browns are, and I told you this months ago, that I think at, sitting at 10 is a really, really good spot, because I think that they're, it's right before the run of wide receivers, which in a real deep class, you would think teams would want to be patient, but, you know, teams fall in love with one guy and all of a sudden they go, well, the Raiders are going to be interested in him at 12, or the Jets might want him at 11, so we got to hop up to Cleveland at 10 and go take our guy. Also, what's going to happen if Tua Tagovailoa starts falling a little bit? You know, if somehow he gets past the Chargers at 6, I think Carolina's going to get calls at 7, Arizona at 8. There are reports that both those teams want to trade out of the top 10, perhaps. Plus the offensive lineman makes it interesting. Once again, if you fall in love with one particular guy, teams start to get desperate when they're on the clock for those 10 minutes. So I think the Browns are in a great spot.
You don't have a feeling from who you talk to, the Browns are in love with one particular guy at left tackle, do you?
No, I don't. I don't think any of the four linemen scare them off, right? Even, like, I did the Tomahawk podcast with Joe Thomas and Andrew Hawkins, and that's coming out today. It was really kind of fun. But I asked Joe about the whole thing with Jedrick Wills, who's a really good right tackle out of Alabama, and the move to left tackle when you haven't played it throughout your college career, essentially. And he said, listen, it's just when you're still that raw, it's not like a guy's played 7 or 8 years in the NFL. He goes, the adjustment is so big from college to the NFL anyway, that if you're making the move from right tackle in college to right tackle in the NFL, your head's still spinning. So if you throw the extra component of moving from right to left tackle, he said it's not terrible. And he said, for people who think he's not working on it right now every day in drills with a coach that he's hired, and he is apparently working with one of the better ones, that we'd be fooling ourselves, because he knows that there's an opportunity that he's going to be a left tackle from day one anyway.
Chris, the Trent Williams talk, as we've gone into today, doesn't seem to die. The latest report we just heard from Jeff Thomas is that the idea of Trent and his agent working out a deal, gone. And now if the Redskins are going to move him, they're going to call the shots on a trade. Does that change anybody's thought process on Trent Williams if he perhaps gets traded to a team that he doesn't like, or that he might not be able to work out a trade with? And along with that, your thoughts on him, period, as a potential left tackle for the Browns?
Okay, well, that report, you have to be careful with that report, because when do the Redskins lose all leverage? They lose all leverage when the draft starts. So they have to get something done before the draft, because they don't know how it's going to play out. And teams can say, hey, listen, we haven't talked to Trent Williams. There's no way I'm giving up a second-round pick if we haven't talked to him, if we haven't run a physical on him. So the Redskins, really the pressure is on them to get something done. So I'm not buying this whole thing that, well, the Redskins are threatening Trent Williams' camp. So just play this out a few months down the road. The Redskins would get nothing out of Trent Williams for a second straight year, when arguably the best left tackle in the game is just sitting on the bench. Like, does that make sense for the Redskins?
No.
No. So they're going to take some sort of deal. So this actually could help a team like the Browns significantly. I mean, let's say somehow the Browns trade back and they don't get a lineman in the middle of the first round, an offensive lineman. And, you know, the Browns eventually say, hey, listen, there's been this big run on offensive linemen. All these teams have filled gaps. You've lost your leverage here, Redskins. We'll give you our first third-round pick. You know, we'll give you that one. Okay, there you go. So, I mean, I think the price is going to drop significantly the minute Roger Goodell says, welcome to the 2020 NFL draft.
Here's my question for you is, what's the price going to be when the Browns are on the clock and there might still be a left tackle there? You know what I'm saying? But maybe the Browns are looking at two players and they're looking at a left tackle, or maybe, you know, if Isaiah Simmons is sitting there and they want to take Isaiah Simmons, or they want to take a left tackle. I mean, I'm picking up the phone right now. I'm saying to Washington, want to do this or not? Because Isaiah, I mean, I don't know that Isaiah Simmons is going to be sitting there. But say Simmons is sitting there near the Browns. You want to do this? But, let's go.
Okay. If you play out that scenario, and I don't think there's any way he gets past 7 or 8 because I think some team will leapfrog the Browns. But let's say he does fall to 10. You turn in the card with that guy's name on it. To me, that's a no-brainer. And there's enough decent tackles in this draft, especially if, let's say, you get to the end of the first round. A team like San Francisco's got 2 first-round picks. They got 13 and 31, but then they don't have another pick until the 5th round. They're dying to get into those middle rounds. So at 31, let's say somehow there's a Josh Jones, who's the kid out of Houston, who's a natural left tackle. If somehow Austin Jackson out of USC slides, and I don't think there's any way he falls that far, or an Ezra Cleveland out of Boise State, the Browns could move into 31 somehow, get an Isaiah Simmons at 10, trade up for another left tackle, and boom, you filled 2 huge holes and probably got the best defensive player in the draft. Maybe even better than Chase Young, possibly, depending on how teams use him.
Chris, there's my dream scenario, and you just laid it out. Somehow Simmons falls, and you trade back into the first round and get your left tackle. To me,
by
that's
the way, here's
no brainer.
Here's a little thing for you.
Yeah.
If the Browns somehow do get a hold of Ezra Cleveland, it would be the second time that they drafted a player with the name Cleveland in his name. Do you remember the other?
Cleveland Crosby.
Do you know how many games he played for the Browns?
4. How many?
Was it that many?
I believe it's 0. I think he was a second-round pick out of Arizona. And I think he ended up playing like 9 games with the Colts, but I don't think he ever played with the Browns. I'm not positive, though, but pretty sure.
So, in other words, run far, run fast from guys named Cleveland.
Right. Okay.
Now you got me wondering on that. I remember him playing. I remember him being with the Browns.
Yeah, I
just
do too.
Don't remember.
Look him up. Let's go.
1982.
Yeah. You don't have to tell Mr. Google to look anything up, Chris. Baskin's all
over. Yeah, I think you're right, man. I don't think he did play for that. According to Pro Football Reference, he may not have stepped on the field. Maybe we just knew him from the preseason.
So he was a second round pick of the Browns in 1980, I believe. Was that the year we took Charles White in the first round?
Well, that draft all went really well, didn't it?
Does that sound right?
Let's go with that.
Man, I got to tell you, this might be the most incomplete pro football reference page I've ever seen. I know he was born April 3rd, 1956, played 9 games total.
Wow.
And
unreal.
And they were all in Baltimore in 1982.
There you go.
Good. Let's hope this crew does a better job of researching draft choices, shall we?
Oh, man.
Sorry to lay that one on you guys.
Chris, let me get one thought from you on this. You will be disappointed tomorrow night if the Browns do what?
Oh, come on. Are we really going negative?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Do you know why, Chris?
This is my life, Chris.
No, I do that because I don't think they're going to do the wrong thing tomorrow night. I think they're going to do whatever they're going to do, I think we're all going to end up saying, I like it.
Instead of answering that question, let's play this game.
Okay.
What would be the worst thing that they could do? Realistically, I mean, like trading out of the first round is not a realistic possibility at 10.
I would agree.
So what's the worst thing that they could do? I mean, if they draft one of the tackles, whichever one we get, we're going to be fine with because we don't really know how offensive linemen play anyway. If they end up getting Javon Kinlaw by trading back a defensive lineman out of South Carolina, that makes sense.
Yeah. He's
been terrible against the run, who knows what happens with Ogunjobi's deal. Sheldon Richardson, is in his 30s or what have you. So that would make sense.
How about draft a quarterback?
Okay, well, once again, I'm talking about realistic stuff here. I mean, they're not going to draft a receiver in the first round, so
Is Johnny Manziel on the board and Justin Gilbert, are they on the board? No. So they can't do any worse than that draft.
Don't believe they are.
They can't do any worse than that draft. Can they?
Pretty horrible.
A guy that was brutal and a guy that really didn't want to play football. Oh, my God. It can't be any worse than that. It's all uphill.
I think the Browns in the past decade, from 2010 on, have led the NFL in terms of having multiple first-rounders. In 2012, we nailed it, you know, by moving up a pick and giving up a second-round pick to take Trent Richardson. And then Brandon Weeden later in that draft. And then 2 years later, we had the Justin Gilbert Manziel double play.
Good draft, we had Shelton
and Cam Irving, who incidentally have both won rings in other places. And then in 2017, we got Miles, Peppers, and Njoku. And, you know, that's worked out. So,
all right. Well, we look forward to watching you tomorrow night. Enjoy your work. We always enjoy it. And keep hanging in there out there in Southern California, bud.
Thanks. And I'll be keeping the beard for TV for the first time ever.
Oh,
so there you
go. Nice. All right, good. Now I really have something to look forward to tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, for God's sake, if you're not tuning in for draft information, you can do it to just heckle my facial hair.
It's going to be awesome. Chris Rose joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, thanks, buddy.
Thanks,
all right,
Chris.
Guys, stay safe.
We'll see you tomorrow night on the NFL Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.